The Indonesian government executed 9 convicted drug traffickers in April this year, amongst them Australians Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran. But one person was granted an 11th-hour reprieve. Filipino maid, mother of 2, and convicted drug trafficker Mary Jane Veloso was told she would not be executed with the others. Here's her sister, Marites, telling the ABC's Foreign Correspondent Program about her family's relief when they heard that news.
When we heard that Mary Jane is safe, my God, we're all clap our hands, we're all smiling, we're hugging each other, kissing each other, because, oh my God, it's a miracle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, Jesus. Thank you for saving the life of Mary Jane.
How did the boys respond when they heard that their mother was alive?
Mark Daniel is jumping in the bed. She bumped her head in the roof, because he's jumping and jumping like that.
That's Marites, the sister of Mary Jane Veloso. Well, the stay of execution was granted to her after a witness on her case came forward. But that stay of execution is temporary. She remains on death row, and a legal case is underway to overturn her conviction to try and save her from execution. Darwin-based lawyer Felicity Gerry is a consultant to Mary Jane Veloso's Indonesian legal team. Felicity Gerry joins us from our ABC's Darwin studios. Felicity, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Hello, thank you.
Now, Mary Jane Veloso's claim is that she was tricked by a family friend who told her she was going to work as a maid in Malaysia, and when she got there, that work wasn't there, and she ended up being sent to Indonesia. So how does all this explain her being caught entering Indonesia with drugs in her bags?
Well, it's really the classic tale of the exploited Filipino domestic worker, that there are very few opportunities in the Philippines. It's an extremely poor nation with millions of impoverished people, and women like Mary Jane take opportunities where they can find them, and an opportunity to work abroad is what they look for. It's an absolutely classic tale of where someone's vulnerability and trust is abused, where they're manipulated and deceived to carry drugs across the border. So
the essence of the case, and I want to come to the sort of legal argument here about human trafficking, is that she was enticed to Malaysia with a promise of a job. When she got there, that job wasn't there. She was then said, there's a job in Indonesia, given a case and some clothes, not knowing that that case had drugs within it. Is that right?
That's the essence of the factual information, that obviously in these situations there's a chain of command, and she was at the bottom of the heap, really.
So what's the basis then of the legal case to try and overturn her conviction? She's on death row. You've entered this at the 11th hour, really. Tell us how you got involved and what's the knowledge you had that's contributing to this?
Okay, well, the law effectively is Indonesian law. They have mandatory drug trafficking laws, which we're all pretty well aware of. They also have mandatory protection for human trafficked victims. It's rather better than the law in Australia. Unfortunately, it's simply not been applied in the context of drug trafficking. So that's the legal issue, to understand that victims of human trafficking should be protected rather than prosecuted or punished. Now, the definition of a human trafficked victim, it comes from the UN Trafficking Protocol. It's very, very wide. It involves deception, manipulation, coercion, abuse of trust, abuse of vulnerability, those phrases that I've used before. Her family instructed the National Union of People's Lawyers on the 7th of April, so only 20 days before she was due to be shot. Frankly, thanks to the internet, they got in touch with me on the 9th. I helped them with 2 things, really. Firstly is the human trafficking referral mechanisms, which is basically telling the authorities that you're a victim, giving the authorities all the details of how you're exploited, and enabling the authorities to investigate. And if there's credible evidence that somebody is a victim, then of course they shouldn't be prosecuted or punished. We had a Skype meeting on the 10th of April. The complaints against her recruiters, who are really only the next rung up the ladder, I'm sure there's plenty more for much higher up, they were put in on the 16th of April. I drafted an amicus curiae brief on the 24th of April, just as the head of the NUPL got on a plane to go to Indonesia, because we had the 72-hour countdown. a wonderful campaign group called Migranti International put out a petition which became the fastest growing petition out of the Philippines ever. The people of the Philippines came out on the street, and eventually the two presidents spoke and she was given that temporary reprieve.
Sounds so, very lucky for Mary Jane Veloso that you got that email, I think. But what's happened since then too is a woman called Cristina Sergio, the one accused of tricking Mary Jane Veloso, the family friend, has come forward. She says she knew nothing about the drugs. So is it possible she too was a victim of human traffickers?
Yes, what you've got to remember is that it's like any form of organised crime. There are bosses and then there are pawns. And how many pawns and how many bosses is what a good police investigation should uncover. You've got to remember that nobody's going to just say, oh, yes, I'm a human trafficker. That's what I do for a living. I make a lot of criminal profit. We're never going to really get people coming forward and saying and confessing to being a trafficker. The case in relation to the recruiters has to be dealt with separately from Mary Jane's case. We have to assess her situation separately. We don't have a victim in any other case and then say, well, let's have a look at whether she's a victim or not. In human trafficking cases, really the way it's worked across the world is to have a look at what the evidence is. Now, that may mean that the people immediately above her were also exploited.
So Felicity, just finally, if that can't be proven, though, do you think this has raised, this whole notion of the human trafficking element has raised enough doubt over the case against Mary Jane Veloso that she will be spared execution?
Well, you've got to remember that she's not the trafficker. So you don't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that she's a victim. You simply have to raise enough credible evidence for us to be satisfied that she was. And she's done that. There's plenty of information to demonstrate that she was vulnerable. Her father worked for something like one day a week for the equivalent of 9 cents. These people are truly, truly poor. And they need to be helped to make choices that don't put them in the line of fire, if you like.
Does that mean you think she will be spared the death sentence?
Well, I think it's an opportunity for the Indonesian president to lead the way. The law on human trafficking in Indonesia comes from the Office for the Empowerment of Women. As I've said many times, he's got more women in his cabinet than probably any other president. It's all about women and girls, really. They're largely who are exploited in all sorts of ways in the context of human trafficking. Frankly, Mary Jane is one of millions of people who are used and abused by transnational organised criminals, and he can lead the way across ASEAN, frankly globally, to show that we're going to make a difference between victims and criminals.
Felicity Gerry, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Felicity Gerry is a barrister, part of the legal team trying to overturn the drug trafficking conviction against Mary Jane Veloso, the Filipino maid who was famously spared from execution in April. She remains on death row. Foreign correspondent tonight will have this full story of on Mary Jane Veloso, but also the bigger picture of drug trafficking and the pressures on people within the Philippines, for instance, working, as Felicity just told us, one man working for 9 cents a day. That's Foreign Correspondent tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC TV.